If you've ever been in the market for a new home, you know home shopping can be a lot. There's so much you don't know and so much you need to know. What are the neighborhoods like? What are the schools like? Who is the agent who knows the listing or neighborhood best? And why can't all this information just be in one place? Well, now it is on Homes.com. They've got everything you need to know about the listing itself, but even better. They've got comprehensive neighborhood guides and detailed reports about local schools. And their agent directory helps you see the agent's current listings and sales history. Homes.com collaboration tools make it easier than ever to share all this information with your family. It's a whole cul-de-sac of home shopping information all at your fingertips. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today on the podcast, we're talking about Mistral AI. They just released some new features, including a graphic generator and chat features, lots of new stuff. Before we get into that, I wanted to talk about our school community. If you are not a part of that yet, you need to check it out. We are about to hit 225 members, and it's a great place to meet like-minded individuals of people who are actually using AI to make money, either on the side or to build businesses with AI. It's a really cool place. This week, we talked about how to drive free traffic to your website using AI. So it's definitely, you know, we release bonus content every single week. We have lots of them up there now, and there's lots of really cool people doing cool things in the community as well. So check it out. It's $19 a month, and it will continue to go up over time, so you can lock in that price and join our sweet community. We'd love to see you there. But Jaden, let's hear about Mistral and what they're doing.
Okay, so this is so fascinating. Mistral is one of the big AI companies that has managed to stay alive. There's been a couple other ones, right? Like Inflection, they made Pi, but they kind of got acqui-hired by Google. You had Character AI also kind of got acquired-ish by Google. So Google and other companies are kind of slurping up some of the big players. Mistral has not been slurped up yet. It is still out there. And it's, you can think of it pretty much like a direct competitor to ChatGPT, but it's open source. So people can branch the code and use it for a lot of different things. It's pretty cool. Their new feature they just rolled out is, in my opinion, almost a clone of ChatGPT's Canvas tool, right? So they both have the exact same name, Canvas, which I'm not sure why they called it Canvas. Maybe they just wanted to really say that it did the same thing, but I think they should have done like Pages feature, or like, I'm sure they could come up with another name. Okay. Regardless of all of that, it is a very fascinating tool. And they came out with a demo of this tool and kind of what it does, where essentially they said, hey, today you're releasing a new feature called Canvas. You know, tell us a little bit about it, create a canvas with metrics that we can use to, you know, show what this thing does. So one thing that I will note right off the bat when you ask it that prompt is that unlike ChatGPT, the chat goes on the right-hand side and the canvas, or just like the Google Doc pretty much, goes on the left-hand side. So they did make something slightly different. The chat was on the opposite side, but otherwise it looks very, very similar. Anyways, as soon as you say like the word canvas, or you want it to make a canvas, then that's essentially the trigger phrase that tells it, okay, when I give my response, this is no longer a chat. I'm now essentially putting this into like a Google Doc, but it's its own kind of Google Doc thing. And yeah, it goes ahead and does the response, which I think is interesting. So they have this demo, and in the demo, they say, okay, this looks great. Create a React dashboard with some mockups, data that can display some of the metrics that we're talking about here. Okay, so all of a sudden in that same canvas, or it creates a canvas, which types out all the code, and it has the ability for you to view what the code looks like. So the actual dashboard that it created. The last thing that they demo that's really interesting, that is exactly what ChatGPT does, is it allows you to highlight a line of code. But you can also imagine if this was a document and you were highlighting like the title of the document. In their example, they have it say like, can you add a some descriptive text? It goes through, rereads all the code to make sure everything's good. And it then goes and adds like the right, it adds some descriptive text, but it goes and edits the code, which is really, really cool. But you could also imagine it doing the exact same thing in like an actual document where you say, hey, you don't have to have it rewrite the whole document. You just select the title and say, hey, recreate the title, or select a sentence and be like, hey, rewrite the sentence to be X, Y, and Z. So those are the features. I think this is cool. Jamie, do these look like things that you would use?
I mean, personally, it feels a little bit too technical for me. It looks like, we've talked about this before. I think where some of these AI companies are going to be able to succeed and pull ahead is by just differentiating themselves and finding a different target uh-huh. customer. I think they're going for more of the coder programmer angle, which is great. You know, for a use case, I don't see myself personally using that as much. You know, I'm more like, just give me the graphic and I'll use the graphic for my presentation, my, you know, content, but I don't really care what the code says or, you know, anything like that. So, but I think it could be extremely useful for someone who is, you know, working for a big corporation, building apps or tools, you know, things like that. So, I don't know. What do you think about it?
Okay. I 100% agree with you. The one thing that I will say is, I think maybe they have a bit of a branding problem. Cause like, if you look at their logo, it's like all pixelated. You know, their demo is showing it doing some code stuff. But at the end of the day, all of these tools work great, just like ChatGPT's Canvas feature, for just regular documents too. So I think they have one of the problems, like, you know, you mentioned, you're like, this looks too technical for me. I think a lot of people feel that way. When in reality, I think that the tool could be used by pretty much anyone, because it can just, you could do the same things, but just with documents, not with code, you know? So sure. That's one thing. The other thing that I think is interesting is some of the additional features that they added. So they call it Le Chat, which is because it's based in France. I don't know. It's kind of funny. I'll refrain from making fun of it. But one thing that it can do is it can process large PDF documents. That's awesome. That's a new feature. So you can upload a big PDF. It can read through, understand everything going on, and give you responses based off of that. Also, images can be uploaded to it. It can analyze images and summarizations. Including files with graphs and equations, which is really cool, right? So you upload like a big PDF, it's got pictures in it, it's got file, or it's got, you know, graphs, it's got equations, or you upload files with graphs and equations, and it understands all of that. So to me, those are great features. The other feature that it has is it's incorporating Flux Pro. So Black Forest Labs, for those that don't know, is essentially an open source image generator that's almost as good as Midjourney. And I think Midjourney really dropped the ball by not making an API, because as a developer, I would have loved to integrate Midjourney into like 10 projects over the last couple of years. And I mean, mainly just AI, you know, AI Box, my big AI platform I'm building. I would love to have Midjourney. There's all these off-market kind of sketchy ways to try to incorporate limited versions of Midjourney, but they're not official APIs. And if Midjourney changes anything, it breaks. So no one's incorporating Midjourney into any serious products. And instead, Flux came out with almost as good of a product. It's open source and everybody is incorporating Flux, including Elon Musk and the XAI team adding it into, you know, Twitter formerly Twitter X to their Grok AI model. That's what's generating the images over there. So, you know, and that's got, you know, millions and millions, hundreds of millions of users. So this is a very big model. It's now incorporated into Mistral, which I think is fantastic. The last thing is that their new, you know, Le Chat, it can host shareable automated workflows for tasks like scanning expense reports and invoice processing. And they're calling those AI agents. So a ton of really exciting stuff. A lot of this is in beta right now. But yeah, I mean, I'm super excited about this new Canvas feature and a ton of these other features I think would be useful. I guess for you, Jamie, based off of, I don't know, I just listed like a million features that they added, but anything there stick out to you as being particularly useful or interesting?
I mean, I do think the the research portion of it, like if you're going to try to, you know, research or scan old documents in, I mean, tax time is coming up. And so I'm thinking about that as far as like, you know, how could I use this to reduce my my tax burden, or at least find, you know, help me with some of my accounting issues I have, you know, so I feel like there's a lot of potential there. And I think we've talked about even like the lawyer use case before of like looking through law documents and finding, you know, research, just uploading large documents for research. I feel like that's a really useful tool moving forward for people. You know, personally, again, in my business, you know, content creation, real estate investing, I don't know. It'd be cool if you could have it like, research some like the MLS for you. That, you know, that'd be cool. I don't know if you could, how that would be.
Dude,
possible.
That would be very cool.
That'd be sweet.
Oh my gosh. That'd be so interesting. Okay. So one thing I did want to bring up about this that's interesting is it was co-founded by some people that were formerly at Meta and DeepMind. So Mistral isn't just like it came out of nowhere. Like, you know, people are coming from big companies to go and build this. And one thing that's interesting is it's a little challenging them to make money at the moment. They're definitely having an issue with this. I think they just began generating revenue this summer. They started having some like paid programs, but this is one of the big problems with these open source projects. Even OpenAI originally was kind of like this open source AI engine. And then they had to go to a closed source for profit because they weren't able to attract the venture capital dollars to make enough money. So it's going to be interesting to see how Mistral either pivots or how they're able to continue to monetize this essentially. One thing that they did say though, in a blog post, they said, "At Mistral, our approach to AI is different. We're not chasing artificial general intelligence at all costs. Our mission is to instead place frontier AI in your hands so you can get to decide what to do with the advanced AI capabilities. This approach has allowed us to be quite frugal with our capital while consistently delivering frontier capabilities at affordable price points." So I think this is a great point. I think they're taking a dig at OpenAI that is spending, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to train some of their AI models allegedly and just burning through cash as fast as possible, raising billions and billions in order to do this. And they are, you know, they raised $640 million in venture capital. And they're trying to be a little bit slower with their approach, maybe more thoughtful and mostly, you know, just more mindful of their capital. They don't have as big of backers, but they're making some cool stuff. So it's interesting. It seems like, you know, maybe OpenAI's big vision and head start is attracting them the dollars now. I'll be curious to see if Mistral will be able to catch up or kind of what their place in the market will be. But definitely, I'll say, don't discount this company. And some of these new features they rolled out with their Canvas are fantastic. Some of the stuff we see over at OpenAI. So try them out. There's some great places you can try this out. Soon, I'll be hosting Mistral on AI Box. So if you're interested in testing this out, get on the waitlist for AI Box at aibox.ai. And once we launch, you'll be able to play around with all of the latest Mistral models over there as well. So some cool stuff. Jamie, any last thoughts?
I'm excited for AI Box, man. Yeah, I know it's been you've been grinding at that for a while. I'm excited to see the, some of those features. But yeah, that'll be another episode, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll get a whole episode on that. Hey, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into the podcast today. If you enjoyed the episode, it would mean the world to us. You know, literally would bring a tear to Jamie's eye if you could leave us a review. If you're on Apple Podcasts or if you're on Spotify, you got to hit the About tab and then you can hit some stars. But either way, we love your reviews. We read your reviews. We really, really do appreciate them. If you could leave us a review, that would help the podcast out a ton to get found by more amazing people like yourself. Thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure to join the AI Hustle School community, and we will catch you next time.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.